Hey Collective mit Break Apart auf Flux FM. Die Band aus Tel Aviv spielt heute Abend auf der Bühne des Badeschiffs und hat es vorher zu mir ins Studio geschafft. Wir sprechen über ihre neue zweite Platte Pangaea. Der Titel bedeutet übrigens im Altgriechischen ganze Erde und bezieht sich auf den Superkontinent, der bis zu 150 Millionen Jahren existierte. Wir reden über die alte Schuhfabrik, in der die Scheibe entstanden ist. Wir finden raus, ob man als Band nach England ziehen sollte, um die eigene Karriere voranzutreiben oder eben lieber nicht. Wir müssen über ihr aktuelles wahnsinnig atmosphärisches Video sprechen und auch über die Lage in ihrem Heimatland und in Tel Aviv im Besonderen sprechen. Jetzt heißt es aber erst nochmal Hallo, welcome und Shalom, Idan und Roy.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, how are you doing?
Very good, how are you?
I'm totally fine, thank you.
Amazing.
Where are you coming from today? How's traveling been?
It's been pretty good. We left at 6 o'clock in the morning from Munich to drive up here.
Okay.
And we basically came straight to the radio, so Berlin has been amazing so far. In the half hour of traffic that we've had on the way.
Well, thank you for being on time and thank you for traveling that long way. I mean, Munich to Berlin is quite a long ride, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah,
yeah, but it's all right. I think it's the sort of, you know, it's the joys of touring. You get to jump from a lot of crazy places. And it's like, you know, we were in Munich for a show the night before. Mm-hmm. I got to see about 2 streets in Munich. That was my entire experience of the city. So,
but I mean, when I read about you guys, it feels as if you were addicted to touring anyhow. You seem to love being on the road and playing shows one after the other, don't you?
It's true. I mean, the shows, especially this tour, I think the shows, and in Germany specifically, we've been having a really, really good run of shows, so it's been great to be here.
Cool. Well, congratulations on your new LP, Pangaea, that has been made in an old shoe factory in Tel Aviv.
When it's written on paper, it sounds like there was this big ideological reason for it to happen, and it's nothing of the sort. It's just the place that we were rehearsing the album in, it used to be this old warehouse with this woman who used to make independent shoes. Mm-hmm. So her and her assistant had the floor above us.
Okay.
And they would sit and make handcrafted shoes while we would play music really loudly. And there wasn't any barrier between the two floors. Mm-hmm. It was like they were sitting.
They were drowning in bass like all day long.
Hands on their ears, screaming in pain. But
after a while, they started making comments. Like, we like this song. This song changed. We don't
so
like that.
So they were like the curators for the LP.
Exactly.
Wow, that is cool.
That is really interesting.
And we got free shoes, which is cool.
Oh, yeah. And they're independent shoes. I mean, that's something that's something really special as well.
Absolutely.
Maybe you should take some pair of those shoes to your merch stand or something.
That's a good idea.
I always have good ideas for the merch stand. It's true. I should basically look for a new
job. We're really bad at that. So we should totally collaborate.
Let me give you a few more ideas after this interview. So did you produce the entire album yourself? Because last time you worked with Chris Shaw, who's a famous producer. He's been working with so many great people, including Ween, my favorite bands of all time. So you worked with him on the last album. Who was with you this time? Did you have an engineer or did you do everything on your own?
We had an engineer and co-producer with us. Mm-hmm. His name is Daniel Anglister. He's a friend of ours from Tel Aviv. Mm-hmm. And he was an assistant of Chris while we were recording our previous album. And this is how we got together as friends. And this album, it just felt like we kind of knew what we wanted to do.
Uh-huh.
And we just needed someone to help us translate those ideas into...
That is cool. Because I wanted to ask you anyhow, if you used some of the tricks that Chris Shaw has done in 2011.
Yeah, we stole everything.
You stole his assistant.
We came, we saw him work for a couple of months, and then we stole everything.
No. Have you seen what he's doing to the knob? Have you seen that?
While pictures. When we were recording, we used to post like things on Facebook and Instagram and like pictures from the studio. And every time he would comment, hey, you stole that from me.
Oh, really? That's nice, though. That's a nice comment, though. And he seems to be okay with the whole thing.
Oh, you know, he was wonderful. I think it was the sort of thing when we did our first album, we brought Chris over to Israel to work on it with us. And for various reasons, it was like we did the album really quickly. Mm-hmm. It took about a month to do the whole thing. And in the case of this album, it was more of a long process. We we came in, we recorded, we hated it, and then we went back and recorded it again.
Cool,
and, yeah, so it was different.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the best way of having control over the final product,
exactly.
Just to be able to go back into the studio without paying the producer again and paying the studio again because it's really expensive. And then you play a lot of table tennis and you're fucked. You know? And you guys know what I'm talking about. As your band's called A Collective, do you actually decide every little thing as a collective when you're in the studio, or is there something else like a...
It depends on the day, I guess.
Okay.
Fighting on what we'll eat before we got here was just like, it took us like 3 hours maybe.
Okay.
It's funny. It actually seems like a lot of the fundamental decisions that the band has to make actually go by really smoothly. For example, the track listing for the album was one of the easiest decisions we had to make.
It and kind you did that as a collective, though.
Yeah, and we did it together. I mean, we came with a suggestion and we kind of talked it through. But if we need to decide where we need to eat lunch while we're on tour, that shit takes for like 3-4 hours just standing on the street. Everybody's annoyed. So I guess... It works really well in a creative setting for reason.
Yeah.
But on tour, it's chaos.
Yeah. And as soon as it relates to food, somebody's got to be the boss. And like, we go in for a vegan restaurant now and all you guys shut up.
That's it. It's throwing chairs and it's violent. It's awful.
It's a kind of a nice situation, though, I imagine. Now, before we talk a bit more, let's listen to the song that we've been playing for weeks now. And we love it. It's called Happiest of All Memorial Days. Und werte Zuhörer und Zuhörerinnen, ich muss auch das Video zumindest lobend erwähnen zu diesem tollen Song. Das ist nämlich ausnahmsweise so gut, dass man es hier im Radio auch nochmal anpreisen muss. Wir haben gerade ein bisschen gelernt über die Entstehung der Pangea LP, die in einer Schuhfabrik quasi aufgenommen wurde, weil man da die ganze Zeit probte. Und man hat diesmal selbst produziert und sich die Tricks von Chris Shaw aus dem letzten Jahr einfach abgeguckt. Und dass das geklappt hat, das hört man auch an dieser Single hier. A Collective mit Happiest of All Memorial Days. A Collective mit Happiest of All Memorial Days. 15:46 Minuten hört Flux FM. Zwei Mitglieder der Band aus Tel Aviv sind immer noch bei mir im Studio und wir reden jetzt noch ein bisschen weiter über ihre Platte Pangea, die sich ja im Titel auf einen Superkontinent bezieht, der vor 150 Millionen Jahren aufhörte zu existieren. Und da will ich nochmal wissen, was die Idee ist hinter dem Superkontinent im Plattentitel. The title of your LP refers to the supercontinent Pangea that existed until like 150 million years ago, being the only continent on Earth at that time. And Pangea actually means something like the whole earth in ancient Greek. Yeah. And in times like these, in times of war, one asks oneself, is the album title something like a romantical approach? Do you guys want the supercontinent back, like all peoples of the world on one continent? Or is it more something like totally unromantical and you guys go like, no, we want to conquer the whole world with this album? Or is it something completely different?
I would say it's closer to the first option. I think, well, I think it's on the one hand just I think first of all it derives from our love to music that is a bit not oriented to a special place. That although we're from Tel Aviv, we really, I don't know, I guess we're influenced by a lot of things going on in the world, but I think it's more about things falling apart and the I guess sometimes you just reach a point when you expect things to fall apart in order for them to get back together. Because the theory of Pangea is that one day the continents will meet up again. Because we're still moving, actually.
Yeah, okay.
As we speak.
Yeah, that's totally true. We're still moving. But they're going to reconnect on the other side then? Or what's the theory?
Yeah, and okay. No one knows.
They'll crash together in this giant mess of land. It'll be like...
Yes.
And the earth will meet again.
Yeah, and the peoples of the world cannot do anything else than be reunited then.
Exactly.
That's the romantic approach or the romantic idea behind
that,
right? Okay, cool.
But it's I guess it's not even entirely on a political or a global scale. A lot of it has to do with even just the personal outlook of it. Sometimes when your own life falls apart, it's okay. It doesn't matter that it doesn't mean that you're any less of a human being or that you will not be able to be a complete one in the future.
But I mean, it's a brilliant album title because it leaves room for interpretation a lot, and then one can think about
it.
Yeah,
it took us a while. I think we found out about it while we were texting each other. I think I was away, and Roy came up with the idea for the album, and it was. I mean, it took us a good couple of months to think about it. Even though we were toying around with the idea of things falling apart and these superstructures, and once we found once Roy suggested it, it became clear that this is what we're going
for. Also Pangea, der Superkontinent, der auseinanderdriftet und dessen Einzelteile aber wieder zusammendriften werden. Das ist natürlich ein sehr inspirierender Albumtitel, über den man viel sprechen kann und der auch Interpretationsspielraum lässt. What is it like to be on tour right now for a band from Tel Aviv? I mean, there's advantages not to be in Tel Aviv right now because there's bombs all
because
over
it's
the
a
place.
War zone.
It's a war zone, that's true. So it must be kind of like an advantage to leave town for that period, but isn't it a disadvantage too? Because I think that you must think of your loved ones all the time, and you must be totally worried.
I think it's very weird and complicated in many ways. Yeah. I think on the one hand, of course, it's much nicer to be playing music and seeing new cities and spending time with my friends rather than running to a bomb shelter. Yes. That is definitely more nice. But of course, there is the issue of being far away from a reality and this kind of being an escapist, unrepresentative
version
of it.
Hedonistic musician kind of guy.
What are you doing while everyone's suffering? And also, in a way, I think it being from Israel, it means that, especially in the last couple of weeks, the issue of politics is one that constantly comes up in relation to the music, and people, when they meet us, are obviously interested in hearing about the conflict, and it always kind of ties into politics. So I think it's politicized a lot of the tour a lot more than we were expecting to a certain extent.
But which is not a bad thing, right? To think about. I mean, it's distracting. You can have a cool tour without it, but
it's never a bad thing. I think also part of our music is also about, I think, some aspects of political and conflicts within us, not just the conflict itself. But I think sometimes because of, I don't know, this age we're living in with fast information all the time, people tend to judge things a lot faster, and connecting, like, us being from Israel is necessarily means that we are either in favor or against or anything. But I think at the end of the day, I don't know, we appreciate, I guess, the opportunity to just go places and to just, spread the another word that normal sane people all over the place.
I really think that this is a problem, that so many people look in on that conflict from Germany. They see the extremes that are happening, but there's so many people on the Israeli side and on Gaza as well who just don't want to have that war at all.
And I think that's also the problem with extremism in general, is that it's more vocal. You hear extremists a lot more loudly than you hear the people who are crying for peace or trying to find alternative solutions. But at the end of the day, I guess there's far more people who are hoping that it will end as quickly and as,
let's cross our fingers and pray to the different gods.
That is, which everyone doesn't just make it stop.
Please.
Whoever you are.
Please.
I think that's maybe the hardest part, just not being there to support the sane side.
There's an Israeli saying that I once found out about, and that says that Haifa works, Jerusalem prays, and Tel Aviv plays, right?
That's amazing.
Do you know that saying?
I've never heard it before, but I believe you.
Yeah, I believe you, because Jerusalem is a very religious city, right? Yeah. And Haifa is the people are there working, like the Germans maybe. and Tel Aviv is the party town of Israel. How important and how inspiring is Tel Aviv for you as a band? Could you have formed the band in Jerusalem?
That's interesting a good question. I don't know. I never thought about it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think the answer to that is no, because we're all from Tel Aviv. We all grew up kind of studying music, knowing each other through the... Tel Aviv is a very kind of small, familiar city. Everybody knows each other, and you kind of grow up in these groups. And I don't imagine that we would have known each other as well if it didn't happen in that area. But I think, in a way, we're not a very typical Tel Avivian band. We kind of have formed our own bubble of existence somewhere in our basement.
Yeah, it's very funny, because in Tel Aviv, they treat us as we're like... some sort of aliens, although we're originally from Tel Aviv, and the rest of Israel calls us a Tel Avivian band. So okay.
That's sweet, though, somehow. As well. Absolutely. No, because I learned about that saying from a friend of mine who was in Israel for years, mm-hmm. and I talked about that saying with Terry Poison, you know, Terry Poison? Yeah. Mm-hmm. They were here like 2 years ago or something. Mm-hmm. Nice girls.
Yeah. Oh,
you gotta admit, people.
What are you saying exactly? But yeah.
So I want to wish you the best of luck for tonight's show.
Thank you very much for having us.
It was very nice talking to you. And I hope you're going to come back soon for another show or for a few more gigs. And for
we
few
hope
more
so
interviews.
Too. Thank cool. you for having us.
De nada, compadres. Und wer heute Abend aufs Konzert möchte, auf dem Badeschiff, der ruft mich jetzt ganz schnell an. 030-2000-9000 ist die Nummer zum Glück. Berlin 2000-9000. Wer durchkommt, der steht auf der Gästeliste. Für A-Collective heute Abend auf dem Badeschiff. Thanks again. Bye bye.
Thank
ciao,
you very
ciao.
Much.
Bye.
Before the trench, before the bomb, the breakup plan.